Welcome to episode number 247.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
So many people plan and dream about pulling up roots, selling the sticks and bricks house, and going full-time in an RV. But what's it really like? A little scary, to be sure, but also very rewarding, as our guests this week share in an episode we're calling Living the Dream.
She took care of her mom, and she said, when mom goes, we're leaving.
I'm out of here. That's what I said. I've been telling them, we've been together, 32 years?
Yep.
And I was telling them that for 30 years. And his answer to me was, well, I didn't think you meant it. Really?
Yeah.
After 30 years?
Okay. And I'll go and be honest with you, I was a nervous wreck when I left, but
he was a mess.
I should have done this years ago.
So we're going to talk about that, living the RV dream. And you're going to meet a couple that we ran into at in the Adirondacks this past week. John and Casey, who are living full-time in a Class B Winnebago Travato. As we heard their story, we knew we had to get them to share it with you, too, and that's coming up a little bit later on in the podcast, in our interview of the week, and you're going to be delighted to meet this great couple. Hey, we have lots of RV news for you, some comments from listeners, your questions, and a great off-the-beaten-path report from our friends, the Burkitts, as well. But first of all, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, my Michael.
Well, we're talking to everybody this week from the Finger Lakes region of New York, and if I'm really quiet, maybe you can hear the pitter-patter of rain.
It just started to rain. We were listening to the frogs.
And?
And the coyotes.
Oh, my goodness. We were actually preparing this podcast, typing it up, our notes, and getting ready to go and rehearsing. We do that. And all of a sudden, across the valley,
coyotes, a lot of coyotes, and Bo got very upset.
It's the second time in a week now that he has heard the coyotes out here. The first time was in a campground up in the High Peaks area of the Adirondacks last week, I think it was. Maybe the week before, but he heard them, and oh my goodness. And now...
He put on his mean bark.
He put on his mean... And he actually took off, didn't he?
Yeah, he took off a little bit. He was going to go get them.
He was. Bo knew something wasn't right.
Yeah.
But then the coyotes quieted down, and the...
And I brought him in.
And the frogs...
I brought in...
Yeah, you brought him in. And he still growled in the vehicle, and then you can hear the frogs out there.
Yeah, the frogs are carrying on.
Frogs, and then it started to rain a little bit. We've been dodging rainstorms for the past 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah,
actually longer than that.
I think it's one beautiful day.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had one beautiful day. The rest of the day, we've had nice days.
Yeah, we've had partial, and it's rained at night, things like that.
Yep. So anyway, tonight we're staying at a beautiful winery in the Finger Lakes region, the Heron Hill Winery. It's part of the Harvest Host Service that you hear us talk about here all the time on the podcast. We're members of Harvest Host, and oh my gosh, you could not pay for the view we have. We're the only ones here on the winery property.
Just us and the frogs and the coyotes.
The frogs, the coyotes, and it's dark out now as we're recording this, but right across from us is Cuyahoga Lake, one of the beautiful, deep, long Finger Lakes here in New York. And we're surrounded by vineyards, great, beautiful green vineyards in their neat rows, stretching down the terraced the naturally terraced hillsides that lead down
to
the lake.
And I hope everybody's not terribly disappointed with me because we just went into town and ate at a wonderful Italian restaurant.
Hammersport was the name of the town. What a great little... We found this little Italian bistro there. I counted. There was only a 10, 11 table restaurant. And the food was just spectacular.
It was outstanding.
It was outstanding.
And it was a charming little town, with a little town square and all the cute little shops.
And a nice beach. Kids are swimming. Dogs welcome. And we've loved the little towns and villages that we've seen up here. And as we have told you now for the last couple of weeks, we're up here doing some research for one of our eventual 7-day adventure guides to the Adirondacks. And oh my gosh, I don't know how we can squeeze everything in. There's so much to see here. We've been through it partially, you know, on freeways, expressways, interstates, but getting off and up and down those little roads, wow.
It is absolutely beautiful around here. I mean, now, we went to Chautauqua once for a story.
Yeah, up in the Finger Lakes area
as
well.
Yes, and that was I love gorgeous old homes.
Yeah, but so anyway, we're just loving this winery. We'll be doing a video on some of the Harvest Host places. We're going to stay at one of the golf courses as well. And maybe another winery. There's so many wineries here. Finger Lake wines have always been famous. But as we've learned a little bit today when we arrived from our hosts here at the Heron Hill Winery,
I'm quite getting a little concerned because the first winery, I think you bought about 6 bottles. This time you bought 12. Probably the next next one would be 24.
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to carry them. They're heavy. Yeah.
Thinking you have to support wineries.
Well, you know, I get into the spirit of things.
And yes, you do. Give me one of everything.
Yeah, well, now you came away with all these salad dressings and all stuff. And
I got 3 bottles of salad oil.
And you're taking me tomorrow to a pottery shop. So.
Yes, they have the most beautiful pottery with a heron on it. Very pretty.
And we have herons in our property in Michigan and even down in Florida. We
see the I like herons.
So that's great. So anyway, we have having a great time here. We spent the last couple of weeks touring the Adirondacks, and we have truly had a ball. Just a ball.
It's just been an awesome couple of weeks of hiking, exploring, and learning about this magnificent region of mountains, lakes, streams, brooks, and jaw-dropping scenery.
Yeah, it is gorgeous. We have camped. We've boondocked our way across the state. We even did some mooch docking at the summer home of a couple of our followers who invited us to their place.
Yes, we want to give a big shout out to Bill and Pam Roberts who welcomed us and Bo. I mean, when you don't own a dog and you let somebody else bring their 65-pound hairy shedding dog into their home, that really is gracious. So with open arms, they opened up a guest cottage for us on beautiful Lake George, which is absolutely awesome. Considered the crown jewel lake of the Adirondacks.
Yeah, they took us out in their boat, and we got a chance to really see. It's 30-something miles long.
So people better be careful, because they invite us, we just might come.
We had somebody invite us. They lived just across Lake Champlain in Vermont, and we were going to go there too, except our plans got all goofed up in the middle of the week.
Yeah, I said to you, let's go to Vermont.
Well, we were going to, and maybe the next time. And we get asked that a lot by people who invite us, and we were thrilled to do it.
I thought it was so cute because Pam said she had a phone call from, she has 2 daughters. One of her daughters called and said, so how are the strangers?
That would be us.
That were the strangers. So when you see us, you can call us the strangers.
Well, now we have 2 very close new friends, Pam and Bill Roberts.
And we met their daughter and their granddaughter.
Yeah, Bo did too, and just had a great time. And I want to thank so many of you listeners who know this area and have sent us your suggestions. We have tried to incorporate and visit as many things as we can that you have been telling us about. So we have been to museums, and we've been climbing mountaintops and hiking trails that you have told us about. We've gone into little stores and villages and shops and restaurants, and it's been great. And we will try and it's going to be hard to boil all this down into one of our 7-day adventure guides, but we hope to have that out in the next couple of months anyway.
I had no idea what we were missing up here. I'm so glad that someone encouraged us to come here.
And now that we're in the Finger Lakes area, we could stay here for another couple of weeks. There's so many things to see here as well.
You know, we were sitting at Bill and Pam's and looking at this beautiful lake and just the scenery
the
all around it.
Dropping down into
I
the
said,
lake.
You know, it's time to sell the house and get that house that we've always wanted on a lake. And then I start thinking, where in Michigan is it
as nice as this?
Yeah. Beautiful as this.
It's nice.
Because it really is gorgeous.
The bugs are out. We got to tell you that the bugs are here, the mosquitoes, the black flies. But, you know, you learn to kind of move around when they're not. when they're not active.
We could send everybody to our black fly swat thing that we did once.
The video we did in the Upper Peninsula?
Yeah.
The black fly dance video.
Yeah, the black fly dance video.
I will have to look that up and try and remember that if it's not too late when I post this this show notes. That'd be fun.
Yep.
Hey, we have, I also want to say we have been thrilled at the response to our latest 7-day adventure guide, the ebook that came out this past week about Yellowstone National Park. And like our other guides, this is one of those curated, guided tour ebooks. Bottom line, gives you 7 days of adventure and exploration. If you've never been to Yellowstone, you need to go. And we can make it a lot easier if you follow that guide. If you have been, we think this guide will come in very handy for you as well, because we'll show you in 7 days every part of that park. And we'll show you what routes to take to make it most efficient to see all of the major attractions at Yellowstone. And we'll give you suggestions on where to camp and where to boondock in or near the park, what to see, what to do. All that is in our new book, RVLifestyle.com/Yellowstone. And actually, we just made a new page on the RV Lifestyle blog with all of our books, because now we have so many of these guides, and we've got our boondocking book. And so if you want to check out the books that we do, just go to RVLifestyle.com/books. RVLifestyle.com/books.
Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, you know, the bad news for road trek motorhome owners and friends just keeps coming up. The Irwin Heimer Group of North America was in the news again last week, and this time over safety issues alleged in some road treks. And according to court documents that were released, the second row seats on some road trek motorhomes may not have passed certain federal safety standards in Canada and also in the United States. Not just a few, as many as 1,900 units may be affected. Road Trek, as you know, went bankrupt, shut down, fired everybody, and is now in the process of being purchased by a French company called Rapido Group. And that sale, by the way, expected to be completed July 5th, but the company says they don't know whether they're going to be able to honor warranties for those 1,900 units that may be with unsafe second-row seats that were not meeting safety standards. So details on how the company's assets are being divided, also that was being made available last week. And we will link to a story on that in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at rvlifestyle.com/247.
Anyone heading to the Grand Canyon National Park may enjoy reading an article out last week from National Geographic offering tips on how to best photograph the amazing spots. From bringing a tripod to lens suggestions and tips on how to frame a picture, I thought the article was helpful for those who, like me, enjoy photographing the amazing spots we visit in our RVs. We'll link to that in the show notes of this episode at rvlifestyle.com/247.
A mom and her 12-year-old son had to be rescued at Zion National Park last week after the boy went wading into the Virgin River and was then swept off his feet by a dangerously fast current caused by high water levels in the park. The mom jumped in, safely got her son onto a boulder, and then held onto the rock herself with her boy until she could be rescued. A second woman had also jumped in to help, but was free before rescuers arrived. Park officials say lots of snow and spring rain have brought extremely high water levels to the park, and with it very powerful currents, making it important to stay out of the water for a while. And this is a problem at parks throughout the West, high water levels in all of the creeks and rivers and streams. We'll put a link to photos of the Zion's Virgin River from a trip that Jen and I made there several years ago. And again, that'll be in the show notes for this episode, rvlifestyle.com/247.
A small section of Shenandoah National Park is closed to camping after black bear got into campers' food twice in recent days. Hiking is still allowed in that section of the Appalachian Trail, but camping will be forbidden until further notice, so bear in the area will not become accustomed to getting food from campers. This is a good reminder to always check park news before heading in to boondock or hike back trails, and always carry bear spray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put a link to an interview we did that. We try and link to that almost every other time, especially this time of year when bear are very active, and then in the fall when they're active.
And they're hungry.
And they're hungry. The poor little guys, both black bear, grizzlies, and you want to carry bear spray, the most effective stuff. And go back and listen to this interview with an expert that we have had on the podcast some time back. But his information is still good. And again, we'll link to that in the show notes, rvlifestyle.com/247. One last story, and this one at Utah's Capitol Reef National Park, where officials are seeking the public's help to find vandals who defaced a towering red rock in the park's Cathedral Valley, beautiful area of the park. Somebody climbed up there, and the carving of an eye is so deep in the sandstone that officials are not so sure that they can remove it. Graffiti is apparently a growing problem in some of the nation's iconic parks, and there's no shortage of fools out there. So if you happen to be there and you saw any of that or can help officials, they would sure like your help in catching whoever it is that's defacing these beautiful red rocks in the Cathedral Valley area of Zion, or of Capitol Reef. All right, that's the news of this week, and it's sponsored to you, as it always is, by our friends at Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping. Rad Power Bikes makes a series of different e-bike models that fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. Jennifer and I have had one now for a year and a half or so, and I was happy to notice when we were at Lake George with in the Adirondacks that our friend Bill Roberts has a Rad Power Bikes.
And he was using it.
He was using it, yeah. He helped guide us in to his
place. He was out there
pedaling
around on his bike in the rain.
Pedaling around and using that motor to kind of help him up some of those hills in the Adirondacks. All of the different models of Rad Power Bikes can go 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling. Bill has the fat tire version. Jennifer and I have the beach cruiser versions. Hers is the step-through model. Mine's kind of an upright beach cruiser type thing, the city bike it's called. There are also folding Rad Power e-bikes and mountain bike style bikes. All of them give riders the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, or you can utilize five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost or a combination of the two. Rad Power Bikes are perfect for those who want to get back into riding. Maybe you're recovering from a surgery or injury and just looking for an extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go 20 to 40 miles on a single charge, and here's the thing that makes them so neat. They're priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because you deal directly with Rad Power Bikes. There's no dealer retail markup chain that's involved there. You check them out at radpowerbikes.com. Free shipping. And here's a special gift for you as a listener to this podcast. If you use the coupon code RVLifestyle, they'll give you an additional $75 off.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Lots of email this week. I'm just going to go to two of them. And this one came from somebody named Steven. And Steven says, if you always stay in parking lots, that's not called RV lifestyle. It's called being homeless. How about an article telling people to clean up after they boondock somewhere and not leave all their garbage behind? It's getting worse every year. Steven, I couldn't agree with you more. We boondock a lot, and it is popular, and as more people have done it, we're seeing more trash out there. And, you know, the rule always is if you carry it in, carry it out. And we agree with it. Thank you for helping us have a chance to remind others of that, to clean up after yourself. And I don't know, camping in parking lots, well, you know, you might not have power as being homeless. Well, not if you have your RV. And there is a spot for all of those, for the Walmarts and the Cracker Barrels when you're just going through and you need a few hours sleep. We're in kind of a parking lot now.
We are in a parking lot.
But there's nobody around.
There's nobody here.
We're surrounded by the frogs and the coyotes and the most beautiful scenery. I love these Harvest Host places like this.
And I mean, we clean up. Bo went to the bathroom. I went out there and bagged it.
Yeah. And
put it in the trash.
You sure it was Bo's instead of coyote poop?
It was both.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So thank you, Stephen, for sending that comment. And then we've got one also that came in from a new RVer named, Mike Smith is this guy's name. And Mike says, any suggestions on RV camping in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan? We're planning on pulling our 37-foot fifth wheel up for the first 2 weeks of September 2019, and we're looking for the best place to stay. We've never been to that part of the country with our camper. Would like any feedback you can provide. Well, that's a pretty big RV you got, Mike, so you're kind of limited in some of our favorite places you can't get into.
Sioux Locks.
Yeah, but there's a big RV park. You want to see the Sioux Locks up there, and I think they're open in September. I tell you, you need to get our book, our 7-day adventure guide to the UP. That was the first one we did, and it lists all the parks, all the places you can stay. And that's just rvlifestyle.com/UP, rvlifestyle.com/UP, or go to our books page, rvlifestyle.com/books. Either way, you'll see our guide to the Upper Peninsula. We list all our favorite places to go. Most of the state parks have big rig availability. Tequamanon Falls have some sites that are big enough. That's one of our favorites. The Straits Campground right in St. Ignace can handle rigs as big as yours. So can the Union Bay Campground of the Porcupine Mountains at the far northwestern part of the Upper Peninsula. The Presque Isle Campground, which is our favorite boondocking campground, without power hookups. You still have a regular campsite, but there's no hookups. They can't handle anything that big, I don't think. Well, maybe they can. They might have a couple of spots. So you gotta check it out. But get our guide, and it will save you a lot of time, and make sure you see all of the UP. And we list, that's one of our favorite places. And
did I hear September?
September, which is very smart, Mike, by the way.
That's good. It'll be empty, and the bugs will be gone, and the colors will be out.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. All right, one last question, and this comes from Tim in Arizona. He says, we've been watching your videos and enjoying them greatly. We currently have a Class A gas engine, 2004 Damon Intruder 37-foot, and I'm planning to retire next year so we can start traveling more and enjoying life. We've made a lot of trips in our RV, so we've been able to make our list of things that we want in a new RV, and the leisure travel van Wonder or Unity seem to meet all of our requirements. However, I'm really trying to understand how choosing the Sprinter engine might affect us when it comes to the diesel requirements. Based on your experience, is it hard to find the right diesel gas when you're traveling, or should I assume that it usually won't be a problem? I'd really appreciate your thoughts on the Ford Transit versus Mercedes diesel, both of them diesel. Well, we've driven both, and obviously we chose to buy the Mercedes Sprinter Unity model, but we did drive the Leisure Travel Van Wonder on the Transit. It was a diesel engine. We enjoyed it.
It drove beautifully, handled beautifully.
It did. But we chose the Sprinter for one, it's just a little bigger engine, I think. It's more roomy, it's more comfortable. I love the new 2019 dash and all the improvements that they've made to the chassis and the 2019 Sprinter. Your big question is about diesel, and what you're really asking about are these states like Minnesota and others where they have a biodiesel, and Mercedes doesn't want you to use anything over 5% biodiesel. That's a guideline. It's not a hard and fast rule. We've talked about that numerous times on this podcast. I've interviewed the top experts at Mercedes, and they tell you when you're going through a state, if that's all you can get, don't worry about it. Fill it up, drive on. It's a steady diet. So if you live in a state where you're going to get diesel over that, then you might have an issue. We don't. We travel from state to state. We've never had a problem. Now, sometimes I will say this, I'll pull off the road and I'll think, I'll fuel up at this station and I'll go and I'll find they don't sell diesel. But rare is the time that not just a block down the road is somebody who does sell diesel, right?
And when you're out in the West, where gas stations are a little
harder to come by,
Don't get too empty.
Yeah, we make it a rule that we fill up whenever we get below half a tank. When we get to a half a tank, actually.
We have had drama.
We've had drama. We've never run out of gas, but we've come perilously close.
And it's not nice to listen to the little woman.
Oh, yes.
Especially when I was driving through hilly terrain and
that
running
was in
out
Texas.
Of gas.
That was Texas.
I was a very unhappy female.
You were, but you made it.
I lived.
We lived, yep. Yep,
it's kind but of. But you needed earplugs.
I'm
going to run out of gas on hills, and there was no shoulder.
No, they were doing construction. That was funny. Yeah.
No, it wasn't funny.
Well,
it might have been funny if you were driving.
Thanks.
All right. I'm basically kind of a coward.
Hey, do you have a question you'd like us to answer or a comment? You know, you can email us. Email me, mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, if you just call our voicemail number. We have a voicemail number, 586-372-6990, 586-372-6990. Just leave us a voicemail. Even easier, you can just give us a voice memo from one of the apps on your phones. All the phones will do that, and you can send us that as a question, too, and we can put that on the air. We'd love to get your questions either by email, but we love getting your voicemail so we can hear your voice when we answer your question. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, maker of quality, safe, reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. We're going to tell you a lot about Battle Born Batteries over the months ahead, because just a few weeks ago we installed two Battle Born lithium batteries in our leisure travel van Unity FX model. We also upgraded the energy management system, the solar controller. We put a 2,000 watt inverter in. It's all Bluetooth connected. It's awesome. It's a video. You can see it if you go to our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. I've got one all up on there. If you want more information about Battle Born batteries, just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium. Battle Born's motto is get out there and stay out there, and that's their mission, to provide RV and marine batteries made with the highest quality lithium ion phosphate technology at the fairest price on the market that will let you have sustained off-the-grid adventures so that your batteries, when it's time to charge them, will charge faster, they'll perform better, they'll charge fuller, they're longer lasting, they're maintenance-free. They have a team of battery experts that can tell you exactly how those batteries will fit in with the existing components on your RV, whether it's a Class A, a Class C, or a B van. If you've got a travel trailer or a cab over a camper, don't worry. They're experts in those kind of RVs as well. And they all come with a 10-year guarantee. We're using ours right now. There's no power hookups where we're staying, and most of the time we boondock, we don't have power. And all the lights are on. I'm running all the computers, our mixer, all of our gear to make this podcast. And really, there's just no difference at all, except when it's time to leave. I don't have to unplug anything. I just start off and go. Battle Born Batteries, check them out. We've got a link to them, rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium. All right, we had a great time last week camping in the High Peaks area of the Adirondacks Mountains. And while we were there, pulling into us at the campground we were at was a Class B Winnebago Travato. And we got to meet the couple that was in it with their dog, Kai, and John and Casey, who have recently retired but are now full-timing in that Class B Winnebago Travato. How long have they been doing that?
Didn't they say a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, I think it's been a year and a half. They're working on their second year. And we got to talking to them because they are living the dream. They have wanted to do that for a long, long time. KC was the travel. John wasn't quite sure about it, was he?
No. There's always one that is willing to go and the other one that kind of drags their heels.
So what's it like, we wanted to know. And as we got to know them, we just thought that you'd want to get to know them too. So consider yourself part of the campfire. Gather around the picnic table with us, and let's pick up this interview with John and Casey, and they're going to tell you about living the dream full-timing in a Class B RV. We'll pick it up right when they retired and got rid of their home in New Jersey, a home that they had lived in for more than 3 decades. Let's pick it up with John explaining.
We started a year and a half ago, and we left New Jersey, and we've been on the road pretty much the whole time, all out west, down south, now back up north.
So you are full-timing in a Travato.
Mm-hmm. It's a 59K. It's made by Winnebago.
And how long is that inside? How
much room well, it's 21 feet long.
21 feet long. And you travel with the dog?
Yeah, Kai. And she has her own Instagram page.
I'll put that up. Okay. It's Kai, The Adventures of Kai and the Tin Man.
Yeah.
And we'll link to this in the show notes. But Tin Man, of course, refers to...
our van.
Yeah. You know, Jennifer calls ours the Tin Can on Wheels sometimes.
He did that, which is why I agreed to Tin Man. He wanted to call it Tin Can. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
The manufacturers don't like it.
They don't.
But obviously we like them, or we wouldn't be in them, right? So they can get over that. Well, tell us a little bit. What did you do for a living? And then what prompted you did you sell your house? How did you become full-timers?
I was born and raised on a farm.
In New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey. And then went in construction for 35 years. Got tired of it. She took care of her mom. And she said, when mom goes, we're leaving.
I'm out of here. That's what I said. I've been telling them, we've been together, 32 years?
Yep.
And I was telling them that for 30 years. And his answer to me was, well, I didn't think you meant it. Really?
Yeah.
After 30 years? Okay.
And I'll go and be honest with you, I was a nervous wreck when I left, but...
he was a mess.
I should have done this years ago.
Now, you are full-timing in a Class B.
Mm-hmm.
Had you had other RVs before?
Pop-up. Had tents before.
And tents.
We've been camping. I mean, the first time I went camping, I was 6 months old. I'm from Michigan, so.
Did you sell your house?
We had rented our house, but we were in the same spot for 30 years.
So you just didn't want to get rid of all the junk, right?
Well, I didn't have a problem. I spent 35 years in the mortgage industry, so I traveled all over the United States for that, working. And then when the thing hit in 2008, I closed my company down.
The recession.
So, yep. Yeah. So we were done, and then, like I said, he said, I took care of my mom, and my mom made 98. She wanted to make 100, but she made 98. And after that, like, she died in 2016. And by September 2017, we got Tin Man.
Yeah.
And we took off to go see my kid in Florida, because my son had been in Florida. He lives outside Sarasota. He's in Bradenton. And the first trip was to go see him in Bradenton, and we had a blast.
And you travel year-round?
Yeah, we have nowhere else to go. That's our home right there.
Now, John, you said you were scared to death.
Yeah, I was nervous. The wheels are going to fall off. The engine's going to blow up. All that stuff. But
and it has. A lot of stuff's happened. But
stuff's happened. We handle it and just move on. I mean,
when we left New Jersey, the generator went. It was throwing sparks when you tried to turn it on. So we went back to the dealer because we purchased it from Colonial in North Jersey. And we went back to the dealer, and their answer was, well, we'll just take it out and send it out for it to be repaired. John's like, we're leaving.
Yeah.
The end of this month, we're leaving. So we just left, and we found a Cummins dealer in Kentucky. We stayed in their parking lot for 2 days. They let us plug in, gave us water, and hooked up and fixed the generator, and off we went. So that was our first part of our trip when we left the house. Because when we left New Jersey in April, it was snowing.
Yeah.
We had snow. We had gone to see Steve October, or went for Christmas that first year.
Steve's your son.
My son, in 2017.
Yeah.
And then we came back. We started back in February, and we said, oh, to heck with this. It was 11 degrees in North Carolina with snow. We turned around and went 100 miles south again and waited another 3 weeks before we went back to New Jersey to pack everything up.
We called all our friends, told them, come over to the house, take what you
whatever
want, because
we're
want. Getting rid of everything. We're done. We're out of here. Bye.
Flowers, spa, tools,
did
two
they
sheds.
Do that?
Yeah. My brother-in-law took all my tools. And everything's
my gone. Girlfriends took a lot of furniture, a lot of stuff we gave to Habitat for Humanity.
The rest went to Goodwill and Habitat for Humanity.
Well, how did that feel?
The tools hurt. And
yeah,
the tools hurt. But
yeah.
I got over it.
Yeah.
Ex-military. I was used to moving, so nothing didn't bother me to get rid of anything. Not really.
So you didn't have a lot of experience, though, in this lifestyle.
No.
Been camping. You were in the Boy Scouts.
Camping is different than living full-time in a van.
That's only weekend stuff we did. You know,
I had no qualms about it. I was excited as all get out.
I've been up and down the East Coast a little bit, but never west of Pennsylvania. So this is all Everything out west was all new to me.
So describe your year for us, year and a half, not even doing it. Where have you gone? And
oh, my gosh.
Give us your highlights. And we already heard about the generator, but maybe some of the misadventures as well.
Well, that's our third screen door. We've been back to Iowa twice to Winnebago to have it replaced. The first time was my fault. I
pulled on it too
pulled
hard.
On it too hard, and it just collapsed. Second time, it locked up itself, and he tried to open it, and everything just snapped. So that was, and this is the third one. I think we finally learned how to maybe open and close it the right way, or hold on to it and turn it a little bit, so now maybe this one might last a little while. But we've had drawers pop open, we've had the sink fall down off the wall,
I've had some repairs.
We've had some silly stuff. We backed up under a tree in a city park. And broke the vent thing for the
sewer up top with the roof.
Oh, no, that was the car wash. We pulled in and he went to pull through, and the front wasn't as high as the back. And I'm like, hey, you got to back up. You broke it already. So we parked in a city park and he fixed that. So it's been that way for a year. It's been really good.
Does this couple remind you of anybody you know?
yes, they do. Not everybody is real handy.
Yeah, but you're handy. You can probably fix stuff, but I can break them real good.
He's fixed everything almost everything that's gone wrong. Actually, the dog slipped out from underneath the screen door and popped the bottom string again because it's an accordion. Yeah. Screen held by string, and she popped the bottom. He fixed it this time, so that was great.
So the lesson for this, besides you guys are laughing at it, which is the only way to handle stuff like that.
What are you going to do? You live in
my theory is wake up in the morning with a smile, go to bed with a smile, and anything in between comes and goes. That's all.
Yeah. If we wake up in the morning, it's great. We all three of us woke up. It's great. We're all together. We're fine. So.
And you're walking around vertical breathing air. So it could be a lot worse, right?
Clean air. Yeah, absolutely.
Where have you been? What have you done?
Well, for me, the best one was the Grand Tetons. We boondocked in the Grand Tetons with a phenomenal view of snow-capped mountains last June. It was gorgeous. You couldn't have... And the dirt road I took, I found it on Campendium back then. Yeah, the app Campendium. Yep. Found the website, and he's like, the picture's got to be doctored. There's no way we're on this dirt road going uphill. And he's like, where are you taking me? And we got up to the top, and there's diesel pushers and 30-foot trailers up there. He's like, how the hell get up here? he was all worried about it. I was like, see the picture? And it was exactly like the picture that was online.
Nice,
it was
beautiful
amazing.
Spot. Very nice.
The Grand Tetons right on the southern edge there of Yellowstone.
Yeah, Wyoming, right. Yep. Montana. I actually loved South Dakota. We became residents of South Dakota because of what everybody says, no taxes and all that bit.
Explain that, because there's some people that don't understand about being a full-timer. Yeah.
Oh, gorgeous time of year to be up there. It was May. The KOA that we stayed at had a whole driveway full of lilacs, and the whole month we were there, all I could smell was lilacs. It smelled so good.
That was last May.
Yeah. We spent 3 weeks at the KOA to get all the paperwork done, because you have to stay somewhere for a night and take a receipt in to get your driver's license, and then you become a resident. That's all they ask. And an eye test. Yeah. That's all they ask for. But we had to get the vehicle registered from New Jersey to South Dakota. I didn't know they needed the original title, so that took time. So we had to contact our bank, get the original title sent to the city of Rapid City, and to motor vehicles for them to have the original to keep, and then they send a copy back to your bank.
And the reason people become full-time, quote, residents of South Dakota when they're full-timers is why?
Well, we did because there is no state sales tax. We retired, so there is no tax on Social Security or pensions. There is no sales tax in the state. And to become a resident of the state, all you have to do is stay somewhere one night. You can stay in a hotel, a campground. All you need is a receipt and an eye test, and you get your driver's license. That's it.
And our mail service that we have there, they'll do all that. They have a campground. They have a motel. You can just stay.
You want to share who that is with?
Yeah, it's America's Mailbox. It's the biggest one. Yeah. It's in Box Elder, South Dakota. It's just outside Rapid City, about 10 minutes away.
And how do you get your mail?
FedEx, post offices, camp.
However you want. So or you can get it
see what has arrived, right?
Well, you can. Yep. It depends on the level that you pay them. It depends on the service that you want.
They'll scan stuff and send an email to you, or it'll just send,
But you can get refrigerators and washer dryers delivered to them. And, they'll, they accept anything.
We did that once for a while, and it was pretty amazing because you could actually, they would scan your mail.
Yep.
But I think that the lesson that I learned from it is almost everything you get in snail mail is junk mail.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they, it's very little.
Right. They will go through that. They have a service that can go through that, and they won't, give you the junk mail. It's just Class A mail.
All right. So the West you loved, and of course we've hooked up in a meeting here in the Adirondacks, which are pretty beautiful, except for the bugs, the Stabivere.
Yeah,
my favorite was State of Washington. I loved it out there. It's just so beautiful, and we stayed at a couple campgrounds and national park there, and it's just
one campground was on an overlooking the Pacific Ocean with all the hoodoos sitting there.
That was beautiful.
It was gorgeous. We were up on a cliff, man. It was beautiful.
Now, I asked you guys earlier, your Travato does not have lithium.
No,
and you don't need it. Why don't you explain that? So many people, we got lithium. I love lithium. But you boondock, and it all works out fine. What do you have?
The longest we've boondocked has been 9 days.
In a row?
9 days in a row. Yeah.
Yeah, then we got to go fill up with water, dump the tanks.
Tanks and all that,
Normal stuff. The batteries are fine. If we get a lot of cloudy days, we can run a generator a little bit to charge them up if we had to.
Or start the van.
You have a couple of panels, solar panels up there.
Yeah, we have 180 watts.
Okay, 180, but I may go to lithium when them batteries go because of weight difference.
The weight difference, follow our channel, you saw that.
Like third of the weight or something?
About a little less than half.
Wow.
Yeah. And they last forever, and so that's what we
The only problem, though, I read was they don't like cold weather.
These are set now, so they have a battery management system, and when it gets too cold, they'll shut down so you don't have to worry about damaging it. And then they'll warm up again as you drive, so.
Okay.
So they're pretty good. Huh. Ask me in January and we'll let you know how it all works out when we go.
Well, we kind of blew that because we told ourselves we were going to try to follow 70 degree weather, but last summer that didn't work because once we left Washington, we ran into all the forest fires.
Yeah.
And all the wildfires got really bad, and we headed north figuring, if we follow the Canadian border, it won't be so bad. Then the Canadian wildfires started and we got pushed south.
Well, so now you're in your second year of this. Where are you going the rest of the year? What are your plans? How far out do you book them?
We don't book anything.
We don't book nothing. We just go and pull in. You got a spot. If not,
we don't have cell service, we just find somewhere to park. A lot of times it's
And where we're going, whichever way the wind's blowing.
Does this couple remind you of us or what? This is the way we travel. If you find ourselves
right now, we're headed for Michigan because, like I said, when I left there, I was seven. So there's a lot I don't remember, and I'd love to go back to the Upper Peninsula. I want to see Mackinac Island. Like I said, I haven't, So that's where we're headed, and then after that, I don't really. Well, I got a girlfriend in North Mississippi that we didn't get to, so we might head down that way and go see her.
Well, let's get some advice now for people who I think you have the attitude that you have to have to survive. But why don't you describe what kind of an attitude, and as a couple, how you have to get along to be able to live in a van down by the river?
I follow orders, do what she says, keep my mouth shut.
You're right, honey.
Happy wife, happy life. Yeah. No, you can't be. Well, first of all, you can't be afraid. He figured that out. Like I said, he was scared. He told everybody I ripped his roots out of New Jersey. When I took him away. But his favorite movie was Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
And you went and saw the place. Yeah.
Went to Devil's Tower. Yeah. We stayed at the KOA at Devil's Tower, and they showed the movie every night outside.
Yeah, you're sitting there outside theater watching the movie, and the mountain's right there. It's really
amazing. Once we got to Devil's Tower and he found he was going to actually enjoy himself,
it all changed.
He's really been fine. You can't get upset. You can't get mad. You're going to get mad. You're going to get upset. But get over it quick because, believe me, in 100 square feet, you don't have any choice. You can't.
Well, I was so nervous leaving. I had 4 storage boxes up on that roof. They're all gone now.
Yep.
What we got?
One storage box in the back.
Tell her how many times.
Oh, that's the other. Yeah, that's the other thing. Over the last year and 4 months or whatever, we went to Goodwill in 10 different states, and drop stuff off.
Downsizing.
We found
in a van, we're downsizing.
In a van. Because we brought so much, and we brought, I guess, so many clothes, we didn't know what we were going to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, we've just, I bought containers to get ready to go, because I had no idea. I mean, I knew what I used to pack for the pop-up. This is way different. And then once you think in your head, logically, everything's going to work, and then when you find it, you start living in it, and you find out it doesn't work, then you just have to get rid of it and, you know, think outside the box and go to the next thing.
What are some of the things you don't need that you brought?
A whole lot of clothes that we brought. We brought all kinds of winter clothes and stuff, but like I said, we tried to follow the weather. So we each now have like one set of long johns, one set of sweatpants and sweatshirts. We do have a couple. We got rid of three winter coats each,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we brought too many winter coats.
And the boots and the shoes and the dress clothes.
Okay, clothing. Everybody does overpack all
that. This is pretty much, I mean, jeans and t-shirts are pretty much it. And the, for what you're doing and the dirt you're in all the time, you can't wear.
And I had a little bit of extra stuff for my photography, like a little blind that I could, you know, cover myself up
and
with.
Some tools and stuff.
Some tools, and tools that change, like engines that I ain't going to be doing.
Now, John, you are also a photographer. You love wildlife photography.
Yes.
You've got pretty good camera gear. You got a little drone and all
yeah,
that
I've
stuff.
Yeah, I've been doing that for 20 years.
20
years
least,
now.
Yes.
This is a great lifestyle for a photographer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's...
And Casey, how about you? What do you like to do when you're out on the road?
I like to take the pictures. I love to sit on my phone and look at the pictures that I've taken and the places that we've been and all the signs that I've taken pictures of and the places the dog and I have been.
And rock. She loves to rock.
Oh, my rocking chair.
She'll sit by a fire and rock.
I will sit outside and just stare at the sky.
We went to...
I'm an outdoors person.
Oregon... What's it?
Oregon Pipe National Monument.
In New Mexico.
Oh,
right at the Mexican border for the meteor shower. So I could set my camera
Perseid,
up.
It was the Perseids.
Was it the Perseids?
Yeah.
No, it was the one later.
Oh, no, it was the one in October. November,
yeah.
The Geminids,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I set my camera up and we sat out there and it was.
But the sunrises, the sunsets, the birds singing, the animals running around, the mountains, the lakes, the water, the rivers, the streams, the trees. You can go on and on and on and on. Nobody will live long enough to see everything that you need to see in this country. And I did a lot of traveling, but like I said, when you're traveling for work, you don't get to see anything.
It's the same with me. It's a journalist.
You get to see your rental car or the person picking you up from the office and taking you from the hotel to the office and back again.
And maybe a mountain in the distance.
Maybe.
That's pretty nice.
I mean, that's what he said. You've been lots of places. Why did we want to go there? Because I didn't get to see anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've been to the town, but that's it. You know, or I closed the business down and everybody was mad at me. So it was like, you know.
Should I tell him the story? He can edit it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. We got 30,000 miles on our rig.
26 states.
26 states we've been through, not seen everything, but been through. And God knows how many campgrounds. If we just drive down the road, we see a campground, we pull in, you know, state.
And that's
usually
what
we love state campgrounds. We pulled in one in Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Yeah, and they gave
We've
us,
been there.
Yeah,
We've been to Goshen. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, well, I know this didn't happen to you.
We went to a state park in Goshen.
So did we.
We've been there then.
Okay. Oh, good.
Okay. And it was under construction last I heard.
Yes, it is. Still
it's probably the same one.
Probably the same one.
Well, I know this didn't happen to you, though. So we went in. They didn't have a site, but they said we have to move a guy because he was there for so long, we got to move him. Come back at 12, we'll give you the site. We back in. He left a lot of stuff. But
we only wanted a place to stay for the night. That was it.
And so, you know, all the campgrounds have camp hosts. They take care of you, give you information. The camp host come over, knocks on the door. She goes out. It's her ex-husband.
Hadn't seen him in 32 years, and he's now the campground host.
What are
26
the odds?
States
Your
and 30,000 miles. Yeah.
What are the odds?
26 states and 30,000 miles, and I run into my ex. And, of course, dummy here goes, well, you want her back? I'll give you a few dollars.
What are the odds?
That didn't happen to us in no change.
Yeah.
Camp host was a guy that had hair like down to here.
Yeah.
Skinny, about 5'8".
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
I don't know him, but I think you did pretty good.
That was him.
Number two.
Yeah. I definitely, definitely did.
I couldn't believe that.
Oh, that was funny, though. But we've had, it's stuff like that. It's been, I don't know, it's been unreal. Well, like today, I got a phone call this morning. We were in Mystic, Connecticut.
Yeah.
staying at the KOA because there's no place to stay there except them or Cabela or what do you call it? Cracker Barrel. At the KOA, and we met a young couple walking their dog or whatever, and they were like, oh, we've been looking at these, and we've been talking to people. Can we see? So we showed it to them. It was Dina and Steve. So we showed it to them, and we started telling them stuff, because they asked us what was going on, and how do you live in it, and is it, you know, yeah. okay, do you get along, and yeah. whatever. I said, well, year and a half, and we haven't killed each other yet, so I guess we're still okay. She called, or she put something on Facebook. And I tried to call her this morning, and Steve, her husband, called me back, and I texted her. I said, I tried to answer all the questions that you had about the Travato. They bought one because of us.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She said, we, because of you. And then, of course, when I was talking to Steve, he's like, well, something happens to it. I can also blame you, right? I went, yeah, that's fine. I don't care. So they just bought one. They picked it up 2 weeks ago, just like ours, 59K, yeah. regular one, not the lithium one, the regular one. And they've already been camping. They've had a blast. And yeah. we're hoping they run in. We run into them again. He works at Mount Washington in New Hampshire.
Isn't that something?
Yep. It's pretty cool.
Last question. Your advice to somebody who's on the fence. Do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? What do you say?
I would say probably the best bet is maybe go rent one and try it for a little while.
Yeah, you can.
Because instead of just purchasing one, you find out you don't like it, then you got to get, you know, sell it and all that
but
stuff.
But if you've got the opportunity, go. Yeah. Just go.
John and Casey, it is you are what makes the RV lifestyle so much fun, meeting people like you. Thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Thank you.
So nice to meet you guys. Yeah. Like I said, we've been watching YouTube, getting information, all my instructional videos and everything from like day one.
Well, now you're on the podcast.
Thank you.
All right, that's John and Casey. They were a lot of fun, weren't they?
They were happy.
They were happy, living the dream. And, you can follow them. They are on Instagram, and it's Kai and the Tin Man. You can look that up on Instagram. That Kai is the name of their little dog, and the Tin Man is what they call their Travato. And they are living the dream, as we said. And we're delighted that you got to eavesdrop in on our campground conversation with John and Casey. Hey, the interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every used and new motorhome is available to the customer's driveway, deliverable to the customer's driveway anywhere in the country. Sunshine State RVs has, I am convinced, the largest selection of used small motorhomes in North America. They also sell a full line of new RVs like the Winnebago Travato, like the Winnebago Era, Coachman, American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC, and more. If you're looking for an RV, before you do anything, you need to either head down to sunny Gainesville, Florida, or check them out online at SunshineStateRVs.com because, first of all, if you're looking for a used RV, you won't find a larger inventory anywhere in North America. It's huge. They have in stock previously owned RVs ranging from the early 90s to the current year, everything in between, from the most popular brands like Pleasureway, Winnebago, Leisure Travel Vans, Coachman, Road Trek, and more. You will not find a wider selection of used Class B motorhomes anywhere else. But they sell now larger motorhomes as well. And every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection in which they make sure that all the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. They road test them. They make sure they run. They drive the way they should. They go over the interior just as carefully as they do the outside. They turn on every component. They make sure it works. All their used RVs thoroughly cleaned and detailed. And any new motorhome they sell will be delivered to your driveway free. Anywhere in the continental U.S., you may just want to drive down there and get one and pick it up there because then you can have a great adventure in Florida and drive them back home. That's what most people like to do. But if you can't get there, they'll bring it to your driveway. Check them out. SunshineStateRVs.com. Tell them you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path. A unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Time to head over and talk to our friends the Burkitts, Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. For years, we've had the City Museum of St. Louis on our list of travel stops. So recently, when we went to visit our park ranger daughter in the Ozarks, we piled into the vehicle and drove the 2 hours north. We were advised to arrive early because the museum is a popular destination for school groups. We'd echo that advice for anyone attending. The museum is in downtown St. Louis, just a few blocks from the Gateway Arch. The adjacent parking lot will suit a Class B or smallish Class C RV. Anything bigger, and you better look for parking elsewhere.
Bob and Gail Casilli built the museum in 1997. It's housed in an old warehouse, and the structures inside are made from reclaimed parts of buildings, factories, and industrial demolition. Everywhere you look is art, too, mostly sculptures by the Casillis and other local talent. Fanciful animals, objects morphing into other objects, tiny landscapes, and greatly magnified everyday things appear around every corner or above your head or below your feet as you move through the museum. The walls and floor are riddled with holes that lead to ladders and slides connecting one level to another or providing a way to get in between levels to little special surprises.
One section features large pieces of architectural facades, the ones you usually see 10 stories above you from the street. Here, you can look at them close up and see how they're constructed and applied. Nearby is an exhibit of the work of Louis Sullivan, whose distinctive buildings can be found across the country. He's a St. Louis hometown boy. The central core of the building contains a 10-story slide, and there are several others that will whisk you down 2 or 3 levels in a moment. Visitors of any size can enjoy the sliding and climbing features, but knee pads are a distinct plus, and they're for sale in the gift shop.
Monstrosity, a multi-story climbing apparatus, including an airplane, runs up the side of the building, and the roof features an amusement park. There are ball pits, blacklight caves, giant pieces of industrial equipment you can operate, tubes that travel through waterscapes, a miniature railroad, and countless other things to discover among the levels. And it's always changing, with new things being added and connections between one place and another appearing and disappearing from one visit to the next.
When you come to visit, don't miss the Gateway Arch if you haven't already seen it. The Visitor Center movie describing the construction process is fascinating. A few miles east of the museum is the Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis, a stunning edifice built 100 years ago. Like the City Museum, it's been added to steadily since its original construction and features many chapels, intricate mosaics, striking stained glass, and soaring architecture.
The city of St. Louis is at the crossroads of North America and sits on many roads heavily traveled. It was the starting point for Oregon Trail journeys, as well as Lewis and Clark's expedition, and continues to be a continental hub for river, rail, and communication systems. In all likelihood, you've been through it or driven past it many times. Even so, this historic and hardworking city will yield up some undiscovered gems to the traveler willing to poke around just a bit off the beaten path.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so ends another episode of the RV Podcast. That was a great report. We've been to St. Louis a couple of times.
And enjoyed it.
Every time. And we went to that great, there was a great museum there of a steamboat, a sunken steamboat called the Arabia that they found buried in a cornfield where the Missouri River changed course. That was really a fun thing. So
always grateful when listeners tell you what to go see when you're in an area.
And when we hear a report like that from the Burkitts. Hey, we're Mike and Jennifer, and where is Bo? He's sound asleep here somewhere. He's gotten a couple growls in. He heard something out there as we're camping in the Finger Lakes region of New York. Look for our videos. We've got a big video coming up on our rally in Montreal. We went to a rally in Montreal a couple weeks ago. We went to this rally, and everybody spoke French except us. We had a great time, though. We'll show you about that. That'll be our video of the week coming up. Thank you guys so much for listening. Stay tuned. We're out every Wednesday with a new podcast. Lots of stuff on our RV Lifestyle blog and, of course, the RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. Till next time, have a great day out there. Bye-bye, everybody.
Happy trails.